pastor here at Center Point. Every so often, as being one of the leaders in the men's ministry team, we do what we call a resolution celebration Sunday. And that's what today is. It's about the six men that are going to be coming forward with their families and honoring God by committing to this resolution, by committing to a change in direction of where they were to now giving their life to the Lord and committing to the commands that God gives us in this resolution. Well, since the last time we've done this, which was last year, we've actually had two more groups come through the resolution class. And just so you guys know, in case you haven't heard, there's a book called The Resolution Book. And that comes from the movie Courageous. Have you guys seen that? A lot of you guys have probably seen that movie. Wonderful, life-changing movie, if you haven't seen it, about becoming a godly father and a godly husband. And the resolution that these men are signing today come from God's word. They are the commands that God asks us to do as men. And so as they come forward and they do that after I get done talking to you guys, please make sure that afterwards you come up to them as their church family and support them. Love on them for the commitment that they are making. It's so, so very important. I was looking through the last time we did this, which was last year, and then I decided, well, how far back, you know, does this go? How long has the men's ministry been doing this? And I found out that I first did this in 2012 at our men's retreat. 7 years. God has blessed the men's ministry with this study. And we will continue to do it. You know, for the band of brothers, if we're going to call it that, it's got to mean something, right? And so for the band of brothers, this class has become more or less like a boot camp where men learn what God commands them to do as father, godly fathers and husbands. And they learn to support and be there for one another, just like a band of brothers. And that's what this study is about, and that's why those guys wanted to participate and be a part of that. And so I can say with authenticity that I know for a fact that there are tons of men. We've had over 40 men go through this class. And these men are supporting one another and learning every day to submit to their God. What a blessing that is. Before we get started, why don't we pray and ask God to guide my thoughts. Father God, I pray for each and every man, woman, and child in this room. Lord, I pray that you guide my thoughts, that it is only you speaking to this wonderful family, Lord. It's an honor, Father God, to get to do what I'm doing right now. So guide my thoughts, Lord. Help each and every man in this room. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, tap their hearts if you need them to maybe wake up a little with what you have to say through me. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start today with just a little bit of an excerpt from this resolution book. And maybe this is you, or maybe you know someone. Too many men sadly waste their lives. They don't really know the God they claim to worship and have not ultimately concluded what they are living for. Half-hearted and indecisive, they spiritually wander through life in a fog of confusion and apathy. They can tell you what they're doing this weekend, but they have no clue about their purpose in life or eternity. As a result, they go through the motions day after day, wasting most of their time on trivial matters. At home, men are notorious for being oblivious to the huge leadership vacuum that their passivity creates. They don't realize how negatively their wives and children are affected by their lack of spiritual direction and lack of leadership. What do you guys think about that? I know for me, back when I was at GE, that was me. I'd only been taught by my father, and I love him dearly, and he was a great dad, but the only thing that I really learned from him was work ethic, how to work hard. Son, you'll get a good job if you go to college. If you work for a large corporation, they'll take care of you all your life. And I saw him lose his job as CFO, several hundred thousand dollars a year. And I'm not saying corporations are bad. Please don't understand me, okay? What I mean by that fact is when you give your life to something, it had better count, yes? Can I get an amen? We're Baptists, right? Your life had better count because that's what God calls you as men to do. And so what I saw was, and it wasn't that corporation's fault, it was the times, it was the oil industry. My dad worked for a company called Kumi Incorporated, and they made blowout preventers. And back in the 80s, what happened to the oil industry? Boom. So please don't misunderstand my heart. I'm not bashing corporations. GE, who I worked for, because I followed my dad's path, GE Medical, taught me a ton. And I made great money from them. But for me personally, it wasn't for me. So God calls us to have purpose in our life, men. And what had happened to me was I was simply going by what my father taught. And what I realized, especially when I looked back and I read this book and I took this class, I had let go of the wheel. And I go and I talk to my wife, and she's stressed out of her mind because I'm not doing anything at home. Because I'm working 80 hours a week at GE. I'm not taking care of the kids. When I'm there, yes, I love on them, and I try to, you know, show them that love. But, men, I had let go of the wheel. And all I'm trying to do today is to encourage you that if you have done that, if you are not doing what God has asked you to do, or maybe you just don't know, please come and speak to me afterwards about this. If God touches your heart, come talk to me. I love what it says next, but it doesn't have to be that way. It's a fact that great things can happen when men wake up and step up. When a man finally understands his role and resolutely surrenders himself to God's plan, his life completely changes. Men do not stumble upon integrity or accidentally find themselves being faithful to God. Passivity merely leads to futility, uselessness. A man cannot be passive about what Scripture tells him to do for his family and expect to be found faithful to God in the end. That bears repeating. A man cannot be passive about what Scripture tells him to do for his family and expect to be found faithful in the end. We want to be faithful men, don't we? We want our lives to count. The question is, do we know what it is God is asking us to do? No matter where you are, you can finish well. And these men that are coming forward after this sermon, they are wanting their life to count for God. Let's read the resolution and actually what it says. What does it mean to be a man of resolution? Here's what they're committing to. I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children. I will teach them how to love God with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and all of their strength. I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently, that's a big word, I'm from Texas, to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to his church, obey his word, and do his will. I will courageously work with the strength that God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for his glory. And Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, it's overwhelming to read that. And I don't know about you guys, but I instantly go, Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. And you know why? You're right. That's why. You can't, but Jesus Christ can. And every day you submitting your life to him, he will lead you in that direction. But what I'm talking about today is first making a decision. Remember, it's a commitment to a direction. It's not that you've already arrived. When I think about being faithful in the end, it makes me think of the rope example that PJ does. I'm sure some of you have seen that. Have y'all seen that rope example that he does? Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do it again today. It's so important, men, that we wake up. So important that we realize why God has called us here. So this rope represents our life. And as you can see, it goes all the way out that door. It represents a timeline of our life. And this red, this is you on earth. Some of you have that much time, some of you have that much time, and so on. We do not know how much longer we have here on this earth to live out what God has called us to do. The question is, this time is what God has called us as men to love our families, love our wives, provide and do all the things that I just read to you. And what I'm asking for today is, where are you at? It's time for a self-check. Is your life counting for the Lord? Are you spending it at home, playing games? Down in your basement, hiding away, watching movies, while your kids run around and every now and then say, "Daddy, Daddy, will you come play with me?" Are you working all the time? And you're never home. Do you want to get to the end of your life and realize all that money that you made wasn't necessary? That's what I'm asking for you guys to think about this morning. Where are you at? I needed to change. God showed me that I was not doing what I needed to do. How many shots do we have at this? Somebody yell out something. How many shots do we have to do this?
One.
That's all we got. One. And you don't know tomorrow if you're going to be gone and before your Lord, being held accountable, not for your sin. Jesus Christ, if you believe in him, has already sacrificed and take care of that. I'm talking about the fruit that you have produced using the gifts and the possessions that God gave you to take care of. If you're older, man, there's a lot of guys in here that I'm just looking at right now. They're absolutely incredible fathers, incredible husbands, wonderful, wonderful men, many of which are my mentors. God bless you for taking the time with me when I needed it. God bless you for encouraging me when I'm done with worship. Thank you for what you have done for me. But I want to ask you guys this. There's a lot of young couples, a lot of young men in this room. Is God calling any of you older gentlemen that know the Lord, that have gone through all this pain and heartache in your life, to maybe go help, to maybe go talk to and build relationships with these young couples so that you can mentor those men? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we stopped just living in retirement and we instead decided to invest in the lives of the people in our family? Think about that. Think about the impact that we can have as men just at center point if we invest. What are you investing in? No matter where you are, it takes a decision. God gave me 4 points I want to give you this morning. You've heard this parable 1,000 times. I apologize. I don't know why he gave it to me, but he did. Matthew 24, parable of the talents. Again, along the same line, we only have so much time. You can do this. Point number one, the responsibility we have with what we've been given. Point two, the reaction that we have to that responsibility. Point three, the challenges that we're going to face when we make the decision. And four, the reckoning we're going to face and the rewards we're going to receive. Number one, read with me. Open your Bibles to Matthew 24, verse 14 to 15. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his ability. And then he went away. Our Father God, Jesus Christ, came down, sacrificed his life, was risen from the dead 3 days later. That was his first coming. Do you all know that he is coming again if you believe? Do you all know that we have no idea when that will be? And what God is saying in this parable, the master is who? Who is the master in this parable? It's Jesus Christ. He's the master. Who are the servants? Men, raise your hands. Raise your hands. Yes, we're the servants. So Jesus says, all of my possessions you are to take care of that I've given you. But today, I want to talk about two. Your wife and your kids. That God has given you, men, to take care of. Not to be apart from. To take care of. Does God own them? Absolutely. It is a responsibility that God has given us to love on and point our families to Jesus Christ. How are you doing with that? Let's read the second part, Matthew 24, 16 to 18. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. And so also he who had the 2 made 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. What is your reaction going to be? Have you dug in the ground? Have you went and hid away your family because you don't want anything to happen to them? You don't want to talk to your daughter who's struggling right now with her faith because you don't want to upset her. Because you don't want her to be mad at you. Because your feeling of your daughter is more than your feeling of love for Jesus Christ. Is that what God calls us to do? He said what? Hate. Hate your mother and father before me. Don't be the third servant. Be the first two who doubled their investment, who created a legacy. Because of the time that they spent investing in their families, not giving up, regardless of where your children are right now in their faith. I don't care if they're 45. God is not done with them yet. And he's not done with you wanting you to influence them. Don't give up. Do not be a passive father like I was. So number three, I want to talk about the challenges that we face. And I want to talk about just one today that I see as I mentor, as I help others, other men in this congregation. And I titled it, Loving Others Well. What happens when these men come forward, and those of you that have already signed this resolution, what does Satan want to do with this? Huh? What's he want to do? Kill and destroy. Do you think that these men are going to have more problems when they stand in front of you guys saying that I want to commit to this resolution? Do you think that they're going to have problems and challenges in their lives? Do you think that that might amplify some? I can tell you right now, I don't know if you guys know it, my foot switch didn't work all morning. My throat went out. It's about to go out now. That's okay. Submit, submit. God has this, submit. Not mine, but his. Will there be challenges? Yes. John 16, 33, the Bible tells us there will be. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace, but in the world you will have what? tribulation, trouble, right? But take heart. Praise God, because what? He has overcome the world. James 1:2, count it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kind. We're going to have trouble. The question is, what are we going to do about it? You're going to stay alone? You're going to be at home? Get on your computer and watch videos? Or are you going to make a decision, come to a band of brothers meeting, and get to know some of these guys so they can help you? What kind of man are you? That's what I want to know. What kind of man am I? Have I changed? Have I grown? Have I loved my wife like she deserves to be loved? So, loving others well. That's the only challenge I want to give you, because I just don't have the time to give you more. God gave me more. But after practicing this, I figured, yeah, that's not going to work. Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself. Where are you at with that right now? Had any conflict with other men, other people? Where are you at with forgiveness? Does God call us to forgive? 70 times what? 7. Does God say forgive, but only if you feel right about that individual? No. God says forgive. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have conflict in our family that we love so dearly. But the question is, men, what are you going to do about it? Are we going to fight to resolve and follow Matthew 18 and go and speak to that individual and try to resolve the conflict? What about your wives? You know, some of you guys I'm talking to right now, you're struggling. You're upset at your wife. You're frustrated. She won't do this, Bart. She won't do that, Bart. I can't stand the way she does it. Every time she does this and every time she does that. And man, I understand. I get frustrated too. I love you, honey. I get frustrated. But if I'm going to be a man of resolution, what does that say about how I'm supposed to handle that? Can anybody maybe think of a verse that I might bring forward right now that tells us what we're supposed to do as a godly husband? Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And what did Christ do? He gave himself up for her. You men are not going to like what I have to say right now, some of you maybe, because I don't like saying it either. But let me just tell you, it doesn't matter where you are right now with how you feel about your wife. It doesn't matter. God calls you to love her anyway. God calls you to lead. You to change the situation. You to think about what God is trying to teach you in this argument instead of pointing your finger and saying what she's done. Instead of yelling at her and telling her, you don't listen. You don't listen to me. You don't respect me. And I'm sick of it. No. That is not Christ loving his church. Christ loving his church says, honey, it doesn't matter how I feel about you or how you feel about me, but I want you to know one thing, and that is that I love you with all my heart, and that God has called me to love you, and that I can do that. I can well up that love inside of me and give it to you, not because I have it because of me, but because Jesus Christ commands us to love one another, and he commands me to love you. And he commands me to sacrifice my life for you. And it doesn't always mean dying for her, men. It means you forget about yourself. It's not about you. It does not matter. God is trying to teach you something to prepare you for eternity. And you're worried about this stupid little argument. It's not about that. I want to give you a video. Sorry for yelling. I want to give you a video that says about fireproof. You've seen it 1,000 times, but maybe you men will see it a little differently this time. Caleb, the husband, is hollering about his wife. She does this, she does that. And he's not saved at the time. And that's point number one. You cannot give what you don't have. You can't love your wife as Christ loved the church if you don't first know Jesus Christ. Because you don't have it in you to give. We've got to sell out to Christ. Let's watch this video.
Caleb, if I were to ask you why you're so frustrated with Catherine, what would you say?
She's stubborn. She makes everything difficult for me. She's ungrateful. She's constantly griping about something.
Has she thanked you for anything you've done the last 20 days? No!
And you'd think after I wash the car, I change the oil, do the dishes, clean the house, that she would try to show me a little bit of gratitude.
Well, she doesn't. In fact, when I come home, she makes me feel like I'm an enemy. I'm not even welcome in my own home, Dad. That is what really ticks me off.
Dad, for the last 3 weeks, I have bent over backwards for her. I have tried to demonstrate that I still care about this relationship. I bought her flowers, which she threw away. I have taken her insults and her sarcasm, but last night was it. I made dinner for her. I did everything I could to demonstrate that I care about her, to show value for her, and she spat in my face. She does not deserve this, Dad. I am not doing it anymore. How am I supposed to show love to somebody over and over and over who constantly rejects me?
That's a good question.
Dad, that is not what I'm doing.
Isn't it?
Dad, that is not what this is about.
Son, you just asked me. How can someone show love over and over again when they're constantly rejected? Caleb, the answer is, you can't love her because you can't give her what you don't have. I couldn't truly love your mother until I understood what love really was. It's not because I get some reward out of it. I've now made a decision to love your mother, whether she deserves it or not. Son, God loves you even though you don't deserve it. Even though you've rejected him, spat in his face. God sent Jesus to die on the cross and take the punishment for your sin because he loves you. The cross was offensive to me until I came to it. But when I did, Jesus Christ changed my life. That's when I truly began to love your mom. Son, I can't settle this for you. This is between you and the Lord. But I love you too much not to tell you the truth. Can't you see that you need him? Can't you see that you need his forgiveness?
Yes. We can't give what we don't have. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please come see me. Please come talk to me about it. Because you're trying to do something that's absolutely impossible. You don't have it in you. None of us do. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross is what gives us the love that we need to love as God commands us to. It is not you. It is not your pride. It is not who you think you are. We have got to die to self. We've got to know and understand what that means if we are to be godly husbands and godly fathers. Jesus Christ, on his way to the cross, did he complain to God? Did he say, well, they've been mean. They've beat me to death. Daddy, this is not fair. Did he point at all of us? Did he tell God, this is not right. This is not good. This is not fair. This is totally wrong. I can't believe the way they're treating me. No. He went because he loves us. He died because he loves us. And because our eternal, incredible God saw fit to send his Son to sacrifice for our sins, that we may have an eternity with Christ. Will you look inward? The next time you argue, will you look inside? Will you please? Let me just tell you one thing that Marcy taught me not too long ago. Will you stop trying to fix your wives? Will you just listen? Will you stop making it about you and your pride and I'm going to solve this? The way you love your wives is by listening, by showing love to her with intent eyes. You're staring right into those beautiful eyes that God gave you. And you're saying, I love you with your eyes, not your stinking mouth. You got how many ears? I'm holding up two for those class. How many mouths? One. What's the power of the tongue? Ouch. Right? Let's use our ears, gentlemen. Look inward. Ask God to give you what it is that he wants you to learn from this. Look at your wife with intent eyes. Ask God to say, Father God, show me how I have been wrong so you can stop thinking about what she has done. I'm not saying that she's not at fault. I'm not saying that maybe this particular argument, she blew it, because it happens. I'm only trying with all of my heart to plead with you men to show you what I believe God wants us to do in loving our wives as Christ loved the church. We need him. We can't do it without him. Let's watch the second video, and this is Caleb now having accepted Christ. Pay attention to how he looks at his wife, to the heart that's there. It's a man that's been redeemed, that knows Jesus Christ and is using the Holy Spirit and that love and that grace that's all been there because of acceptance of what Christ has done. Go ahead, Sherry.
Why are you doing this?
I have learned you never leave your partner, especially in a fire.
Caleb, what's happened to you?
Dad asked me if there was anything in me that wanted to save our marriage. And then he gave me something. I could let you read it.
Was it this?
How long have you known?
I found it yesterday. So what day are you on?
43.
There's only 40.
Who says I have to stop?
You didn't want to do this at first, did you?
No. But halfway through, I realized that I did not understand what love was. And once I understood that, I wanted to do it.
Caleb, I want to believe that this is real. But I'm not ready to say that I trust you again.
I understand that. But whether you ever reach that point or not, I need you to understand something. I am sorry. I have been so selfish. For the past 7 years, I have trampled on you with my words and with my actions. I have loved other things when I should have loved you. In the last few weeks, God has given me a love for you that I have never had before. And I have asked him to forgive me. And I am hoping, I am praying that somehow you would be able to forgive me too.
You can do it, man. God can change you. He can change your heart. He can cause you to wake up and stop working so hard. Stop making your job number one, but instead making your wife and your kids number one, as he commands us to do. But you can do it because of Christ. You can forgive when you don't want to forgive. You can sacrifice your own emotions and your own feelings about an argument that you're having with a loved one or with anyone. And you can learn, because of Christ's love, because of thinking about what God has done for me and the love that is in me, if only I will suppress my flesh and listen to that Holy Spirit that is there wanting to encourage you that you can do it. I know you can, but it takes a decision. First, that you will believe what Christ has done for you on the cross. And second, that you will decide to not live for yourself. Point number four, the reckoning we face, the rewards that we receive. As I said before, you will be held accountable. Let's read Matthew 24, starting at verse 23. His master said to him, he's speaking of the two good servants, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. And enter into the joy of your master." He also, who had received the one talent, came forward and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. Into that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You can lose your reward by not deciding, by continuing to do what you're doing, if that's what you're doing. But you will not lose your salvation if you believe. You can lose your reward. 2 Timothy 4 says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Will that be you? Or instead, 1 Corinthians 3:15, the true Christian who wastes his abilities, spiritual gifts, and opportunities, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:15, will have his work burned up, and he will suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, but only as through fire. So as a friend of mine would say, is that what you want? No, it's not. And each and every one of you, no matter where you are, God bless you if you're on the right track. If you're not on the right track, I pray for you. I pray that God will show you how you are to change. And I pray that you will. But what I want you to know more than anything is it does not matter what sin, what things you have done that are so hateful and so mean. Because your God in heaven can forgive you if you believe and if you will repent, if you will turn from where you're going and head towards Christ and submit your life to him and believe, he can change your life. I believe in each and every man in here, no matter where you're at, if you have something you need to discuss, please stop doing it alone. Please come and talk to me or Pastor John or any of the other pastors or deacons. We want to love on you and help you. We are not going to criticize. We are not going to make fun of you. We love you as brothers in Christ. That's what a band of brothers is. With God's help, we can do this. Number one, be someone that decides to be a man of resolution. Make your life count. Number two, decide to join a resolution class. There's a sign up out there. Please come and join us in the next class. Number three, come to the band of brothers, bonfire and brats. Say that five times real fast. Bonfire, bonfire, bonfire. 6 p.m. this Friday, May 10th. Come get to know your brothers. Come start building the relationships so you have those in place when you need that help. And be a part of an accountability group if you're not. And believe me, I have not structured these accountability groups to where we're going 1 through 10 and where are you at with your sin today. That is not what the heart and the love of Christ is. It starts with an understanding that we all sin. We all struggle. And we love you, and we want to support you as best we can. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you for who you are, for your love that has been shown to us through Jesus Christ as a man that came from heaven down to earth, sacrificed his life for us because of your love for us. Help us, Lord God, today to make a decision if we are not on the right path, if we are not producing treasures in heaven, Father God, may you wake us up. Point us in the right direction, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So can I ask the families in the